This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Assalamu alaikum, kia ora, and may the peace and blessings of God Almighty be upon you all. Welcome to We Are One, a live program dedicated to promoting peace and serving humanity. I'm Farhan, a member of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat in Masterton. This program is brought to you by the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat New Zealand, a community of former refugees now settled in the beautiful Wairarapa region. We are deeply grateful to the people of Wairarapa and beyond for their support and friendship as we grow together as one community. Thank you for tuning in. Let's work hand in hand towards unity, peace and community service. I'll start today's session with the recitation of the Holy Quran.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن يا معشر الجن والإنس ألم يأتيكم رسل منكم يقصون عليكم آياتي وينذرونكم لقاء قالوا شهدنا على أنفسنا وغرتهم الحياة الدنيا وشهدوا على أنفسهم أنهم كانوا كافرين ذلك أن لم يكن ربك مهلك القرى بظلم وأهلها ولكل درجات مما عملوا وما ربك بغافل عما يعملون. وربك الغني ذو الرحمة إن يشأ يذهبكم ويستخلف من بعدكم ما يشاء من بعدكم ما يشاء كما أنشأكم من ذرية قوم آخرين إنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين قل يا قوم اعملوا على مكانتكم
Next, I will be playing a speech that title is Khilafat Following the Imam.
La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Respected Amir Saab and dear audience, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. It's been 21 years since Khalifat al-Masih Aidat Allah bin Nasr Aziz was elected for the station of Khilafat. 21 years of rapid technological, moral and geopolitical changes. And as the current of time dictates, world leaders have carouseled through the revolving door of political elections. Loved ones in our lives have moved on to the next world. We've seen ups and downs in our own affairs. Money has gone in and out. Business has gone in and out. People, family, not everyone stays in your life. It's a little bit different for us, though. For us, those who have accepted the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, for us, it's a little bit different. If we look to our left, we might see a marriage in some tense times. If we look to the right, we might see a bank account that has nothing even in it to look at. But if you look straight ahead and you stay center, there is something always there. A fixture in our lives in those moments where you feel as if you are hanging on to everything by a thread. No matter the tumult, Khalifat al-Masih. Huzur is always there, without fail. Unflinching, steady, constant, safe. He's always there. وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. And He will give you fear and He will give them security in exchange for fear. This exchange, this barter will never stop. There will always be fears, but there will always be Khilafat. Khalifat al-Masih has graced the land of this country a number of times, just recently, 2 years ago. For the next few minutes, dear audience, we will take a look at not just any guidance of Khalifat al-Masih, Ayat Allah bin Nasr al-Aziz, But those guidelines, instructions, and advice that he gave while in the United States, speaking from the podiums of our own mosques here. Every guidance of his is an elixir, but perhaps knowing that these are his words that he spoke on this land, some of them just a few hours away at our headquarters, hopefully it will light a little bit of a different spark. Our lives are but just a series of responsibilities, boxes that we step in and out of. If we begin at the source, it is uncanny how a sizable portion of personal struggles and successes find their root over here. And that is the home. The home is special. It's the only place where people notice that you're not there anymore. Which is exactly why the relationships, the rights due in those relationships, are so sensitive that if unfulfilled, a long chain of slow, burning consequences begin to unfold. And it leaves many with a void. They fill this void with anger, with pettiness, with jealousies, with materialism. But really, they just want the love that they felt was snatched away from them. A new home begins with a new marriage, and a new marriage begins with the right intentions. If the foundation of a new marriage be even a little crooked, in the beginning we sense nothing, but eventually it will begin to tilt. What guidance do we have from Khalifat al-Masih Ayat Allah bin Nasr al-Aziz on how to begin our homes with the search of a spouse? In his recent visit, during a Waqfat in All class, he stated, quote, whenever we are choosing someone for marriage, we normally see that if the person is well qualified, the girl is well qualified, the boy is well qualified, they are earning substantial money, they have a lucrative job. Huzur says, instead of seeing all these things, we should try to see that a person has a good religious background and is a practicing Muslim. A khadim in the U.S. during a Waqfinal class asked how one could find a good spouse. Khalifat al-Masih stated in part of his answer, so if the boys consider this thing, then the boys themselves have to be good believers and pious people. Not that you search for a good girl and you are not even offering the five daily prayers. If both of you are good, spiritually good, religiously good, then there will be peace and harmony in the house. And your progeny and generation will also be brought up in good hands. In the Nikah sermon, we read this portion of the Holy Quran, وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. Let every soul know what it sends forth for the morrow. Marriage is for long-term peace and happiness. Aligning our wants with our spiritual needs is the perfect combination for the future. And the biggest part of that are our children. We soon enter the realm of parenthood where the days are long, but the years are short. Truly, we only have so much time to leave an imprint on our next generation. Nothing tears through the innocence of a child than seeing double standards in their own homes. By seeing their parents one way in the mosque and another at home, out of annoyance, they will run away from both of these places. The all-time parental frustration, what is it? That our child does not listen to us. But it's a child. It can only do so much. If they are not listening to you, it's because they're watching you. In his Friday sermon during his visit here, Khalifat al-Masih mentioned that those who fulfill the rights of mosques are those who fulfill the rights of mankind. And then he said, quote, however, if a person does not treat his wife well at home, constantly taunts and scolds her, if his children are afraid of him, and if his actions are leading them away from religion, then neither his service to the Jamaat nor his worship will be acceptable in the sight of Allah the Almighty. Huzur mentions, this double standard deceives no one but the person himself. Hence, a true believer is one who establishes justice both in the private and public sphere, and there's harmony in their action and words, both in the home and outside. Dear audience, everyone has a house, but not everyone has a home. The guidance of Khalifat al-Masih can give us, our souls, what it needs and what they deserve, and make our homes a heaven on earth. Khalifat al-Masih mentioned in his Friday sermon at Bait ar-Rahman last time he was here. He said, quote, if we forget our purpose after having come to these countries and become immersed in worldly endeavors, and we do not strive to shape the environment in our homes according to the teachings of the Holy Quran, then our children and progenies will become distant. They will become distant from faith, and rather than being grateful, we would be negating the blessings bestowed by Allah the Almighty. As Ahmadi Muslims, however, we all have a second home, another refuge to find shelter from the machinations of shaitan, where we mobilize, plan, discuss, and most importantly, where we worship. This home is our masjid. And this home also has its due rights. We have a tremendous amount of guidance from Khalifat al-Masih, Ayatollah bin Nasr al-Aziz, because he has inaugurated a number of mosques here. And since our lives heavily revolve around our masajid, it is pertinent to mention his guidance. Inaugurating mosques is a splendid occasion for us. Those that are local with a genuine, prideful love show off their new facilities. We watch the fruits of our sacrifice unfold. And what could be better than having that occasion graced by the presence of Khalifat al-Masih himself? But shaitan is always around the corner. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُومٌ مُبِينٌ. Surely he is your open enemy. And he delights in these moments to misalign intentions, so that with the beauty of our mosques, we begin to mistakenly seek the beauty of this world by craving attention and respect. At his Friday sermon in Philadelphia in 2018, Khalifat al-Masih stated, during inaugural ceremonies of buildings unrelated to religion, or buildings that are constructed for worldly benefits, according to the custom of the world, there is much jubilation seen and benefit from the building. Huzur says, however, when we inaugurate or construct a mosque, we do with the intention to attain the pleasure of Allah. Our only purpose and goal, Huzur says, which we must continue to maintain by inaugurating this house of God, should be only to attain His pleasure. The Prophet Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, expressed in Malfuzat that the mosque of the Holy Prophet ﷺ was small. Its roof was made of date tree branches. It would leak whenever it would rain. But he says that that mosque was beautiful because of the actions of the people in that mosque. Our masajid can only be as beautiful as the people inside of them. Thus, Huzur mentioned in that same address in Philadelphia, every mosque that we construct presents us with a big challenge, in that we must reform our conditions by forging a connection with God Almighty and improve practical conditions, and also open up new avenues of tabligh. There is one way that we can show this reform, and we all know it. Huzur states, everyone claims to believe in Allah the Exalted and the Day of Judgment. But Allah says that it is incumbent to demonstrate this through practical example. This can only take place when we show a practical example of iqamatus salat, the observance of prayer. What is iqamatus salat? Huzur says, firstly, its practical expression lies in the observance of congregational prayers. Secondly, it lies in being attentive towards God Almighty during prayers. This was in Philadelphia in 2018. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said in a well-known hadith, "Bayn al-rajli wa bayn al-shirk wal kufr tarku salat," that between man and idolatry and disbelief is the abandonment of salat. At the end of the day, all intellectual back and forth aside, what is our claim? What do we say that we have that you don't? We have God, a living connection with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. All other goodness flows from this. Everyone's life has to-do lists, and salat, the very thread that keeps our bond with Allah the Almighty, why must we put that on the back burner? We lose patience from our immediate family affairs. But what of Khalifat al-Masih? He's a shepherd to hundreds of thousands. A busy life makes prayer hard, but he shows that prayer makes a busy life easy. Once the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a companion offer their prayer 3-4 times over again to make sure that he was doing it correctly. This was his diligence in impressing the habit of salat amongst us. To combine our previous mentioned role as parents with that of an attendee of our mosque, in his Friday sermon in Zion, Khadifat al-Masih Ayatollah bin Nasr Aziz stated, "After having built this mosque, it is the responsibility of the local members to keep it populated. And this is the way to attain the blessings of Allah the Almighty. This is the way to attain the blessings of Allah the Almighty and to also reform oneself," and Hazur says, "and to enable one's progeny to remain attached with God Almighty. Otherwise," Hazur mentions, "worldly attractions and allures in this current age will cause our children to become distant from faith. It is important to attach them to the mosque and instill the significance of faith from their childhood. And this is the duty of both the mother and the father." The nature of our activities are systematic. And more often than not, our social lives and service lives end up intertwining. We interact with each other at least every other week. And if this relationship, the one between us, the one between each other, is not handled properly, then it opens up a very dangerous Pandora's box. Let's admit something. We know a lot more about each other's lives than perhaps we should. In the course of us meeting each other over and over again, the grapevine goes to work, and it's a world of he said, she said. We don't kill, we're not robbers, but we do talk. And Shaitan has his game plan. He will attack us where we are weak, and if we are not honest about those weaknesses, he will exploit them to create distance between me and you. Shaitan is not going to convince you to kill someone or to rob another Ahmadi. He will tempt you to gossip about them. We sometimes see the struggle of others as entertaining discussion, but this puts a cap on our collective potential. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi says that some vices are so small that you don't even know that you're entangled in them. And he listed gossip as one of these vices. Nonetheless, this constant exposure to each other's lives can give rise to suspicion, ill-thinking, backbiting, and just general loose talk. In his 2018 Friday sermon in Houston, Khalifat al-Masih cited a passage of the Prophet Sallallahu. The Prophet states the following: "Many people will never have killed anyone, never committed murder, never robbed anyone or committed theft, avoided major sins such as these. But the question," the Prophet asks, "the question is, how many are those who do not whine or complain, who do not engage in backbiting or bad assumptions? How many are there who do not hurt their brother's feelings by insulting him? How many are there who do not utter falsehoods?" At times we take others' weaknesses and we holster them in our back pocket. And when our jealousies and our own insecurities bubble up, we spread out those weaknesses of those people. Sometimes we just do it in our own head. We cannot deal with our own personal sense of inadequacy. So we feel like we have to radically equalize everybody by thinking that, well, they're not that big of a deal. They have such and such thing going on in their life. There's nothing special about them. Their family member did this, or they did this wrong action. We store this intel that we get from our gatherings. But the Prophet Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says that the one who listens is like the one who talks. In the same sermon in Houston, Khalifa al-Masih states, if everyone reflects on their own gatherings, they will see that a lot of backbiting, insults, and exaggeration goes on. Then people are made fun of, and that creates bad blood among people. Huzur states, this is the standard of good deeds, in that one should avoid all such vices which do not befit a believer. We are the community of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. We are servants of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. We are hopefully slaves of Allah the Almighty. The bonds of brotherhood and sisterhood, the camaraderies that shatter class and racial differences, this can only come about when we are all devoted to the worship of Allah Almighty and spreading His message together. Everyone has a battle. Nothing is perfect in anyone's lives. Otherwise, why worship Allah? Isn't it because He's free from weaknesses, from deficiencies? We can share Allah's attribute of being Sattar, covering people's weaknesses when we control ourselves and not spread gossip. In our affairs of working together to complete the mission of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, some of us have been given a distinction that comes with a tremendous burden. In every organization, for the smooth running of its affairs, you need people in decision-making capabilities. Some have to be given that trust by their fellow man that they will be able to handle greater responsibility for the greater good of all. However, the higher you climb, the thinner the air, the faster you move, the tougher the wind. The world sees a new title as a promotion, but we see it as a burden. And as always, Shaitan is on the prowl. He cannot wait to take your title and use it to create perversity in your thought and action. Such a case was mentioned by Khalifa al-Masih in his Friday sermon in 2018 at Baitur Rahman. He stated, quote, these are the words of the Prophet Messiah alayhi salam, that one has to distance themselves from their ego and self-importance. Huzur mentions, despite my presence, an office holder failed to attend for Salat in the mosque because his relationship with another office holder was strained. Huzur says, this is the height of egotism and conceit, that despite taking the pledge of allegiance to Khilafat, there was no due consideration for its lofty station. Huzur continues to say, these office holders who claim to be Ahmadis greet me with respect, but show no practical reverence to the high status of the Khalifa because of internal quarrels. So much so that they did not attend to offer Salat in the followership of the Khalifa in the mosque. Khalifa al-Masih says, what do they go to the mosque for? Allah the Exalted or the office bearer? Huzur says, there is no point in being an Ahmadi like this. He says, thus selling one's life means that one should adopt humbleness and meekness and letting go of selfishness. Since the moment that we come into this world, we follow those around us. It's natural, everyone follows something, maybe people, maybe money, hopefully God. Our youth and our formative years are particularly impressionable. And Khalifa al-Masih mentioned in his 2018 Friday sermon in Houston, quote, there are many young people whom I learn about personally. They write to me regularly that they witness such things in office bearers and elders which make them slowly move away from the Jamaat then they move away from the mosque, then they move away from worship, and ultimately they move away from God. Huzur says, hence, if we wish to protect the next generation, then first of all, the office bearers and elders must adopt righteousness. These are weighty words of Khalifat al-Masih, Ayatollah bin Nasr al-Aziz. Perhaps we can say that the young have unrealistic expectations, but Huzur highlights that maybe the old have lower standards. The Holy Prophet ﷺ has remarked, verily you may earnestly desire a position of leadership. And then he says, وَسَتَكُونُ نَدَامَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, that it will come as a regret on the Day of Judgment. He said, do not ask for authority. If it is given when you ask, you will be held responsible for it. If it is given without you asking, then Allah will come to your help. We are a spiritual system, not a corporation. Our rules are different. Humility won't stamp us out into the ground. It will lift us up. Whether we have an office or not, a service that we all offer are our financial sacrifices. It is part and parcel of an Ahmadi Muslim's identity to strive with their wealth. This is the battle that we will always fight. And justice has to be done to this as well. In his 2018 Friday sermon at Baitul Rahman, Khalifat al-Masih stated, one should assess their income because the payment of chanda is a matter between the individual and God Almighty. The administration or the secretary of finance is not aware of what the chanda payer's actual income is. However, God Almighty has full knowledge of it. Therefore, in view of this, everyone should assess their budgets again and revise their payments. The multitude of reminders from our local secretaries could frustrate the matter for some. We may desire to find relief from reminders, but there is no relief from Allah's questioning. So far, we have discussed internal matters, the home and the masjid. But of course, we live in a society of 330 million. Where to begin and where to end? We're going to need 10 more speeches to cover every challenge. Nonetheless, let's zero in on Khalifat al-Masih's words to at least lay down a path. One of the great moral challenges of our time is the challenge of indecency. Combined with the prowess and influence of United States media entertainment, it is perhaps the most encompassing and vicious of assaults against our pure natures. In that same sermon in Maryland in 2018, Khalifat al-Masih stated that the Promised Messiah alayhi salam admonished the community to refrain from adultery. And then he mentioned, Huzur stated, now this does not mean outward adultery, which happens through unlawful physical relations. Rather, he explained that as God Almighty has said, and come not near unto adultery, which means that one should avoid gatherings and occasions in which these thoughts may come to mind. Khalifat al-Masih says, currently, TV and internet show such indecent films which openly incite one to adultery. Thus, it is the duty of every Ahmadi to avoid all this. Huzur says, these indecent media products lead to adultery, domestic violence, unlawful relationships, and even the mistreatment of children. The Prophet Messiah alayhi salam has advised us to not even think about adultery. Every single Ahmadi must especially avoid all media that promotes adultery. There's a quote that we've heard many times. It's cliche, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. It's like the influence of the home. If we all reflect, really, we're just a product of the people that we spend time with. With a parallel digital world of gaming and streaming, our youth especially are prone to spending hours in a world that isn't even real. And behind the screen, there's no filter. In 2022 in Maryland, Khalifat al-Masih remarked that we should be extra mindful of abstaining from evil company. The youth should pay particular attention to this. Huzur says, these days there are different ways of keeping evil company. through some social media platforms, or they are immoral things on other forms. All of these aspects are a form of evil company, and we should refrain from them. Make no mistake, it can be hard. It can be confusing out here. Not only are we a religious minority, but most of us are ethnic minorities as well, and we have to deal with the never-ending tussle of culture and religion. In a virtual mulaqat with USA Khuddam, a khadim asked about this struggle. Khalifatul Masih stated, Islamic culture is the culture, not Asian culture. And Islamic culture is nothing but the teaching, that is, to practice whatever has been given in the Holy Quran. Apart from that, there is nothing. Huzur said, if you are offering your 5 daily prayers, if you are reading the Holy Quran, if you are morally good, if you are following the commandments of the Holy Quran, if you are not corrupt, if you are giving due respect to your parents, to your elders, if you are honest to the nation, if you are working hard wherever you are working, if you are a student, you are working hard to become a good student, then that is the culture and that is the teaching. Apart from that, nothing. Apart from that, nothing. This is what Khalifatul Masih Aitab bin Asazi says. This is what Khilafat is here for. Apart from Islam, other than Allah Almighty, there is nothing here for us. What to mention and what to leave out is a puzzle on its own. Time has left us constrained. Huzur has urged us against excessive materialism. This world is a means, not an end. He's advised us to put our arrogance in check because it divides us and we lose sight of our purpose. Falsehood. Khalifatul Masih has explained to us that it's an idol that we worship. And here in the US in 2018, he stressed on obedience to the Khalifa to maintain the unity of the Jamaat and not pass personal verdicts on what to follow, because we might think it's a good decision or not a good decision of Khalifatul Masih. Individualism may feel good in the short term, but it's in the world, in the word itself, individual. In the end, you'll just be alone. Respected audience, we have 3 options. Be a slave to yourself, be a slave to society, or be a slave to God. We know what Khalifatul Masih wants for us. If we fall in line, then as the Holy Quran says, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, there will be no fear and there will be no grief. وَآخِرَ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
That was it for today's session. Now I will be ending the session with a few updates. New refugees in Masterton are starting a new chapter and Red Cross is right there to help them adjust. Here's how they're making a difference. Job support. Red Cross is helping newcomers find jobs that match their skills, giving them a solid start in the workforce. Education assistant. For young refugees, Red Cross is making it easier to get enrolled in schools, colleges and universities, handling paperwork and offering friendly guidance along the way. With this support, refugee families are finding it easier to settle into their new lives in the community. Thanks to all viewers and listeners who were able to join us today. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to reach out to us. Our phone number is 0800-947-526. That's 0800-947-526. Or our email address at info@ahmadiyya.org.nz. That's info@ahmadiyya.org.nz. Assalamu alaikum, this is Farhan Ahmad Khan and I'll be signing off today.